happened, and we're looking forward to great things, to hearing great things are happening on down the road.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'd like Sister Ann to testify, if she would, tonight before we preach or do anything.
I really am glad to be here. I'm so thankful to be able to come back and see everybody. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done since we were here last year. And I can tell a difference in some people. And I'm thankful for that. I'm so glad for what the Lord has been in my life. There's been so many times that it seems like that I couldn't go anywhere, but I could always go to Him. Sometimes nobody understands just what you feel. And a few weeks ago, we were on the way to London, and I was talking on the phone to my sister, and all of a sudden, I had such horrible pain hit me, and I just reached over and took hold of John's hand, and I said, "I'm in pain." Well, I told her, I said, "Well, I'm going to get off," and we pulled off the side of the road. It was so bad. The pain was so horrible that it was the worst pain I believe I'd ever had. And we just kept praying and rebuking it. And right there, the Lord came to me and took every bit of that away. I mean, He healed it completely. I never had any more pain from it that whole day. I never had anything. And I'm so thankful that when the trial comes, that He's always there. Sometimes you have to fight a little to get it, but He's always there, and I appreciate Him, and I thank you all for all you've done for us. It's just been so good. You've treated us so good, and we've had such a good time here.
Amen. Before I preach tonight, if I preach tonight, I was standing back there. I just see what I see. Feel what I feel. When we came here, Sam and I have had no conversations whatsoever about anything toward the church. But it seemed like that there was just a cloud hanging over this place when we pulled in here, and cold. Seemed like he'd been in a battle for a while. But standing back there as they were singing, the Lord reminded me of a scripture that He gave me when I was in Blanchard to give to those people. And before I do anything else, I want to give it to you tonight as the church here and you that are here tonight as a direct prophecy from the Lord. It is found in the Song of Solomon and in the second chapter. It says in the 10th verse, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. And the flowers are going to appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle shall be heard in the land." Mark it, if you mark in your Bible, the winter's past. The rain's over. Summer's coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been in a defensive mode for a while, but we're coming into a combat mode. Amen. Amen. Springtime's coming for the church of the firstborn. Amen. Regardless of what the world does, springtime's coming for us. One more sowing. One more great scattering, and one more great reaping, and the Lord's coming to get us out of here. Hallelujah. But before He does, the world's going to know. He said to the Philadelphian church, "I'll make them who are of the synagogue of Satan come and bow down before you and say of the truth, God's in you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time, would you just lift your hands and praise the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, if you would permit me, racing a clock, I want to just give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. I preached this a number of times and since the Lord first gave it to me. And if you are a collector of CDs, or possibly you could have been there And if you are or was, just say amen at the right places. You've got ahead of us. But I felt like this morning that when I was praying that this was what I would need to bring tonight to you. And so I'm going to become God's recruiter tonight. And in the book of Psalms, chapter number 25 and verse number 14, the Bible says this. Psalm 25 and verse number 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. And then over in the book of Amos, the third chapter, verse number 7 says this. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but that He revealeth His secret unto the servants, the prophets. I want to preach to you tonight just for a few minutes. We're going to come to an altar again. But I want to preach to you on God's secret serviceman. God's secret serviceman. Father, we are here, God, tonight again, partly because of the kind invitation of this great pastor and his congregation. But God, more so, we are here, as I've said before, because we are indebted unto you, and woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so again tonight, Father, not limelight or applaudance, but God, that anointing that somehow transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. Let the canopy of your glory continue to abide around us. Holy Ghost that has swept through here, would you linger a while longer as we endeavor to preach the word of God tonight? Lord, when I reach for a thought, let it be there. And God, at the conclusion of these broken remarks, just would you please stretch forth your hand, make bare your arm, and confirm your word among your people tonight. And Father, I'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, though we ask it in the name of Jesus. And the congregation said, amen. Amen. It's so good again. You may be seated in the presence of our God. So many good friends of ours. We're glad to see you here tonight. These young boys and young girls growing up makes me feel old. Amen. But I'm glad to know that we've got a legion following behind us. I want to preach tonight on God's secret servicemen. You know, really, 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 true religion has a threefold character to be right. First of all, in its simplest aspect, it is simply a life lived. Live soberly and righteously and godly in this wicked present world we are living in. It is doing the will of God from a heart of love. It is not a duty, but a delight to serve the Lord. Amen. Holiness has never been, amen, to me, something that restrained, something that was hard. Amen. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. When you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, your testimony won't be, what can I do and still have a blessing of God? It'll be, what else could I do to have more of God? Amen. And then, this is a way of faith. It is the ability to see the invisible. The Bible said that Moses endured by seeing him who was invisible. And when you see the invisible, it will enable you to do the impossible. Hallelujah. Once you see Him like He is, when you see Him high and lifted up, when you behold Him, nothing else, amen, can ever overshadow that in your life. It's kind of like that old sister back yonder in the hills, old sister Essie Holt, long, tall, mountain woman, trusted God for probably 50 or 60 years. When she prayed through to salvation, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, she never ever again took anything or rubbed anything on. She just trusted God. There that night when she'd been down for a while, they said she took down to die. Her family had come in. Some of her children, you know, that wasn't right with God and they loved Mama. They said, well, we're not going to let you lay here and die. They're about to overpower her and take her out and take her to the hospital. She said, I heard them a talking. I heard them a plotting. And said, I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And this is what she said. This is what I want to tell you. She said, and then that big man Jesus walked to the foot of my bed. That big man Jesus. Hey, amen. When they come to get her, she's done up a shouting and a dancing and praising the Lord. Amen. So that I want you to know, secondly, it's a way of faith. It is trusting in the being, in the wisdom, in the power, in the love of an almighty God. It's knowing that the judge of all the earth does right. Amen. It is a conviction and an assurance of truth. That's not just a creed. It's a life. Amen. That lived upon the face of the earth. And finally, amen, it is an experience. Amen. You might not, you may be like that boy was. That boy went to college. There at that college, he had a professor that specialized in humiliating evangelical fundamental Christians. And as soon as he found out that boy was Pentecostal, he set his sights on him. Finally, it came to a head one day when that young man looked at him and he said, sir, with all due respect, I cannot match you in intellect. My vocabulary and my ability to argue points, I am outmatched on every point by you. I cannot argue with you, but I want you to understand, while you have a perfect argument, I've got an experience, and the experience outweighs, amen, your argument. All I know is that at 2 o'clock in the morning, with a burning fever, amen, out of my head, a little old frail mama come in, laid her hand on my brow, and called on the name of Jesus, and I got up healed by the power of God. Amen. Finally, it is an experience of joy, amen, and peace. It's knowing that God, amen, does all things right. Now, all of this is what the psalmist is saying when he talks about the secret of the Lord being with them that fear him. The Bible said that many are led, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. I feel like in the hour we're living in that God is walking among us, amen, like a marine recruiter looking for a few good men. Amen. Looking for somebody. Amen. Do you remember what Ezekiel said? He said, I sought for a man. God don't anoint an organization. God don't anoint an evangelistic outreach, a television ministry. God anoints a man. And God's looking for somebody, amen, that is sold out, amen, completely to him, that he can use in this hour. To whom will God give his secret? To them that fear him. That means reverence. It means awe, reverential awe and love. And to them, the psalmist said, he will show his covenant. What that means is he will make known the cause, his cause unto them. Abram was in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans when God spoke to him and said, get up from here and go where I'll show you. Amen. I want to do something through you. Abraham got up and said, I'm leaving here. Amen. Where you going? He said, I don't know. All I know is that God said to me, go, and I'm following God. And no doubt they said, which God? The stone, the silver, the gold, the ivory, the wood. He said, no, it's not God that you can put your hands on. It's not God that you can, but it's something way down inside of me. Amen. And Abraham embarked, amen, on a journey of faith, became the father of the faithful, and died, the Bible said, the friend of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but the hour I'm living in, amen, I'd like to live in a way that God could trust me and take me into his confidence. How about you? Moses saw the burning bush, turned aside, and there Moses heard something that had never been heard before. He said, who am I going to tell is sending me? And he heard the name I Am. For the first time, a man knew I Am. That's why when Moses began to bless the people, he talked about the blessing of the bush. Amen. Because it was at the bush that an old man, amen, got a dream again that he had lost 40 years ago. Amen. When God said, I am that I am. Amen. Oh, would to God tonight, Samuel laid down a baby. Amen. And heard the voice of the God in the night and answered the call to become the prophet of God to turn a backslidden nation back to God. I wonder tonight if somebody, amen, could hear the voice of God. I wonder if some young man or could hear the voice of the Master saying tonight, amen, I'm looking for somebody I can trust. Amen. Behind each one of these men that I've talked about, there was that fear of God. There was that passion to know. God, I want to know you. I don't want to know about you. You know, too much of our time I feel like is spent seeking God's gifts instead of Him. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. Paul said, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. I want to know you, Lord. Ah, they knew Him. There was a willingness to submit and to obey. Therefore, God took these great men into His confidence. Oh, to be allowed in this hour that we're living in. Amen. To be allowed into the confidence of God. To be that place where He said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do, seeing he's my friend. Oh, church, tonight we're desperately needing somebody to tell us what they've seen and what they've heard and what God's going to do in this hour that we're living in. For all among us is that wonder, that question, how's it going to turn out? What's God going to do? Amen. I want you to understand tonight. Amen. Oh, how Paul talked about, he said, I knew a man. Amen. Whether in the body or out of the body, caught up into the third heaven. He heard things. He heard a vocabulary that he did not say was allowed for the world to know. But not only that, he said, I want you to understand. Amen. God revealed unto me the mysteries, amen, that had been hid for the ages. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, listen, there's a song that ain't been sung. There's a message that ain't been preached. Why don't you sing it? Why don't you preach it? Why don't you get the call tonight? Why don't you scoot up close to Him tonight and get under His wings? John, the beloved, he calls himself, laid his head on the breast of the Master and heard the heartbeat of the whole universe. And that beloved John would receive the greatest end time revelation. Amen. For he would on the Isle of Patmos be receiving there from God. Oh, hallelujah. Church, I'm asking us tonight. Amen. Oh, yes. And all this is wonderful. But would you tell you something tonight? You, sitting right here tonight, have a greater revelation than all of that. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets in the time past, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Amen. It ain't Jehovah, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus give Him the honor. Jesus give Him the praise. Amen. We have that. Amen. Something that nobody's ever had. Amen. In any hour, we have the full revelation of what God's doing. There's three things, primarily, that if you're going to be in the Secret Service, you're of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to understand. Now, Ann's first cousin, Lonnie Tincher, has retired from Secret Service in Washington. During the Reagan administration, he spent time, a lot of time on Air Force One. Later on, he would go to become the point man, organizer, of all the security for the dignitaries, of all. Can you imagine what great things that he heard talked about? What great confidence that men like Reagan put in him, that he said, "You're going to be my bodyguard." And he spoke freely in front of him. He told him. You see, the first thing that a Secret Service man, if you're going to be allowed into this circle, the first thing is that he has to have your absolute allegiance. He has to be your master. It is, oh glory to God, oh I feel the Lord. It is one who has a passion beyond a profession. It's a man that president of the United States or that dignitary knows that in a second's time, without thinking, he'll step in front of me and take the bullet that I was meant for me. It is not just his profession. It's not just his job. It's a passion. Hey man, it's a desire to excel, to be something above. Hey man, to stand in that place of confidence. Wouldn't it be wonderful when you bowed on your knees in prayer that the sweet Holy Ghost would walk in and whisper secrets in your ear and tell you, hey man, go and tell my people in this hour and I'll witness it with the signs following. Here's one that must obey no matter what the cost. His only desire in life is that he burns with a zeal for the cause. The world is not going to realize or accept, amen, what we're preaching until we accept it, until we go forth burning with the zeal of the Lord. If we go saying, amen, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I just want to be in that place where the Lord can trust me. We talk about trusting the Lord, but I'd like for the Lord to be able to trust me. When you get to that place, when he becomes your absolute master, you know what he does then? He turns around and makes you his friend. I say unto you, you're no more my servants. You're my friends. I'd like to be the friend of Jesus, wouldn't you? I'd like to be his friend. Amen. You see, friends tell friends everything. If in life you have got one or had one true friend, you are better off than a millionaire. A man that'll swear to his own hurt and change not. A man that'll rejoice with you when you rejoice, weep with you when you weep. One you can tell your deepest secrets to, and they'll never be repeated. I want to take to you. Friends share your joy, your hope, your fear, your wounds, your sorrows, and he shares it all. Amen. Just to have a friend. Wouldn't you like to be his friend? Wouldn't you like to go to that lonely Jesus and say, I'll be with you. I'll stand by you. I'll be your friend. Listen. Not only that, but when you become friends, there is all those greatest secrets. Then there's something beyond that. There's John the Beloved. There's that lover secret. You know, when you're in love like you ought to be, you can walk, you can be across the room and you know what they're thinking. two hearts beat as one. It is a phenomenon that they cannot explain, that sometimes, especially identical twins, know what each other's thinking. So closely entwined are they that when one hurts, the other hurts. I have read of cases where that a twin had to be operated on and the other twin had to be sedated because he felt the pain of the knife. Wouldn't you like to be so close to him? Would you like to be able to say, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, to feel His hurt. Brother Dennis is talking about Job. And you know what smote my heart? How many times that I disappointed him. Job didn't, but I have. The lover's secret, the relationship, reverence, two heartbeats become one. He said, I and you and me, and we and the Father. The lover's secret is full disclosure of character. One man who was trying to get this himself, he wanted to just really trust the Lord. He said, I just really want to trust God. And he said to me, he said, you know, I was seeking the Lord this morning and the Holy Ghost spoke to me as plain. And he said, you know what he said to me? He said, Bill, you don't trust me because you don't know me. What about it? To know Him. To know that no matter what happens, nothing that can happen to you falls outside of His providence and His care. Amen. That He knows right where you are tonight. Right what you're going through. That He said to tell this little preacher to tell you, winter's over. Oh, winter's been deadly for some of you. You know, I've seen some bad winters. I've seen winters when the wind blows over the North Mountain and the cattle freeze to the ground. Winter's cold, it's deadly. And there have been some cold times. Some of you this week, you ain't told me nothing, but God has. You've had some cold times. But I will tell you, amen, He's looking for somebody tonight. Somebody who will absolutely trust Him. You know, He's loved many men that went away sorrowful because they failed to understand the secret of the Lord. There was a city He wept over and a race He longed to help, but didn't think He was worthy. And there have been times, we're going to pray, there have been times when His own has caused Him to speak with love grown weary. Did you hear Him say, have I been so long with you? And yet you don't know me. But you know what He did? He found some. He found some men that loved Him. And He took them to the house of sorrows. And He took with Him Peter, James, and John. And He went in and shut the door and raised her from the dead. He took with Him Peter, James, and John, who walked upon the mountain and was transfigured before them. He took them down into the valley of sorrows in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was later they would say, that which we have handled of the word of life, we're preaching to you because we have had that intimate relationship with the Master. I don't know if I'll ever get it. I'm working on a message on how to survive the anointing. But I want to be to the place. Wouldn't it be something? I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that would like to go beyond just being a soldier. Going beyond being a career soldier, get 20 years and get out. But you'd like to go to something deeper. You'd like to get to that inside circle for that you could listen to. They would speak freely. Would it be something? Do you know anybody? Do you know a man? I've got a friend that every time he sees me, it's almost a running joke between us, but it's real. He said, "I've got you back, brother. And you know what? As long as Big Mike Maxson's around, I ain't worried about nothing. He's got my back." He didn't tell me this, but somebody did. Brother Dennis, somewhere in the United States of America, there was some folks talking when they ought to have been listening. One fella brought my name up and made some derogatory remarks, I guess, about it, about the time that Mike Maxson walked up. Mike walked up into the center of that. He said, "Let me tell you something, sir." He said, "When you've seen the miracles he's seen, when you've raised the dead, confirmed." He said, "Then you talk about it." He said, his number is speed dial on my phone. He said, "Say to him what you said to me." Wouldn't it be something to know that if you got into it, Sam, that he'd step in front of you and say, "You've got to come through me first. I've got a friend." We was in Richlands, Virginia, mighty camp meeting. I preached it for years. Great preachers there. My friend had a problem, and he handled it in his church the way he thought it ought to be handled. And those men were discussing, you know, critiquing. The world calls them armchair quarterbacks. And just a little old preacher from Kim Hills, I scooted back from the table. I said, "Brethren," I said, "if I understand us, we are free, independent, autonomous people. That we don't have a bishop or an elder that rules over us." I said, "And number two, if it was in your church, you might have a right to disagree and handle it the way you want to. You might even disagree with the way he handled it." I said, "But if you attack his character, he ain't here, but I am. And I want you to know he's my friend. I hope you are when we're done. But if you're not, he's my friend." I'm talking tonight about when it ceases to be a profession. Oh, I just felt something coming here. You ain't hearing me. We're not going to win this world. We're not going to have this revival until we get some men that are preaching. Not because it's a profession, because it's a passion. Not because it's nickels and noses, but because it's a soul going to hell. When you look at that dirty, degenerated mess and love it because he loves it, and you love him, then you're getting close, amen, to getting drafted and inducted in to the secret service that I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah! Oh, God! Just a few men, just a few people catch the vision, and we'll have revival. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Oh, God, help us tonight. I wonder if you've ever seen his glory to the place that you said, "Here am I. I'll go where you send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do." Oh, there's people out there that desperately need to hear what you've got to say. It's not eloquence that's going to get them. I'm trying to close. It's not eloquence. It's not talent. It's just them knowing that you're knowing that you're sincere in what you're doing. That the only reason I'm here, I'm not after. Paul said, "I don't want yours, I want you." And somebody, Amos said God wouldn't do anything until he talked to his servants about a secret. Where is somebody tonight that can tell us this is what's going to happen next? There's an uneasiness among us. Oh, we need somebody to say this is the way, walk in it. Oh Lord, can you feel the Holy Ghost hovering in here tonight? He's wanting to talk to me and you. He's wanting you. Hey man, maybe you need a time to rededicate and say, Lord, if you can, you can. Oh, the old preacher said, until you get the woe, young man, don't go. Until Isaiah said, woe is me. I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and I am unclean. Until you felt the flaming fire, the coal ignite your life again, then you can say, Lord, if you will, here am I, send me. Amen. The Lord is looking tonight for somebody that will go beyond the call. The difference in the hero and the ordinary soldier. It is one more battle, one more clip of ammunition, 1 more minute down the front line, taking one more. Amen. Oh, to be trusted, to know that He could trust you. You know why you don't know if He can trust you? Because you don't want to face the trial. He'd like to transfigure you. But before the transfiguring, there's got to be the trial. We got to know the winds of adversity before we can shout the victory. No wonder He said on that day that there'd be those who would come to Him and said, we have prophesied in Thy name. In Thy name we've cast out devils. In Thy name we've done many mighty works. Only to hear Him say, I never knew you. There never was an intimate relationship between me and you. Young men, I'm telling you, you can pray. You can pray until the floor melts out under you, till you soar into space. We talk to you young warriors a minute. Long before I'm now married, I pulled out of Kentucky where we're at now. I preached a revival in the church that I pastored later on for 35 years. I had to be in Ohio, in Franklin, Ohio, the next night. I pulled out at London, and the speed limit was 70 miles an hour. I had a little blue 64 Chevrolet with a 327. Boy, I wish I had it now. I pulled out on the road, running up to the speed limit, bone weary and tired, and I got to praying. And all of a sudden, I got company in that car. The next thing I knowed, I was going over Covington Hill. Going under the underpass there. My hands was in the air. And I was speaking in tongues at magnifying God. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like for Him? Hey, the Holy Ghost better driver than you are. Wouldn't you like to get in the place where He could just get over beside Him and say, scoot over. I want to talk to you a while. He wants to. That's the call tonight. My last message to this church, at this revival, is that God's calling you to a higher calling than you've ever known before. He's calling you out of your comfort zone. Amen. He's telling you that the winter's about over. The trial's about to end. So gather your seed up. Break up your fallow ground. Sow one more crop. We'll have one more move of God before the Lord comes. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder if you'll stand with me tonight if somebody comes to the piano. I wonder tonight if somebody would dare to come down on these altars and say, Lord, if you can use me, here I am. If you can use me, here I am. Lord, I'd like to be what that preacher talked about tonight. I'd like to be the friend of the Lord. I'd like for the Lord to say to me, I know Him. He's my own good friend. I know Him. I can trust Him. Come on, let's pray. Let's make us an altar tonight. Let's pray a while.
need, I want you. Dear Lord, I'll be your witness. If you will help my weakness.